Good morning. I think most people know Brother Chad. He's a pastor in Union City, Pennsylvania. He's the brother of Joe Capella and sister out in California, and Angie out there. And of course, Joe and Diane are here. So we welcome half of at least Union City's core family here. So we appreciate that. We're looking forward to the Lord speaking to you today, Chad.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, 20% of my church is here today, 50% of the Sunday school. So you got quite a bit of us here today. So thank you for letting me preach here this morning. It's a privilege to speak God's word. I hope to interpret and bring you what's on my heart this morning. I just ask you to not be stubborn and just accept what is being told here today. Got some newfangled things here. Let's see here. I went out and visited my sister in California. I do that about once a year. We also visit my wife's family in Seattle, down from camp, a little ways also. The reason why I bring it up is I have an experience I want to share with you. I did get my wife's permission first before I share this, and it has nothing to do with her, okay, even though she's part to blame, but I'm not trying to put the spotlight on her too much, but hopefully get these slides to work here. Anybody here of Del Taco? I know they think they have one in Toledo, is the closest one that I know of, I think, here, but mostly they're on the West Coast and they're spreading. I love Del Taco. It's basically a glorified Taco Bell in a way, maybe quite similar, but what I like most about Del Taco is the sauce, and it has to be the mild sauce. Okay, now, I'll order their meal, but I order it because I'm anticipating I'm going to smother it with their sauce. So anyways, to make a long story short, we're at my sister's house. They're gone. Their family's gone because they're going to some kind of swim meet. We're tired. We just couldn't get up in time to go to it. And so my family's there at their house alone for lunchtime. I said, well, go down the street and go get some Del Taco and bring it back. So my wife goes, I'll do that, because my wife's a better driver in California than I am. So she goes and does that, and we wait a little bit, and she gets back, and we get all the food on the table. And I said, where's my Del Taco sauce? And she goes, oh, I forgot. Now, I'm going to say this to my shame, okay? I immediately am starting to boil a little bit, because I'm hungry, and I'm a landscaper, and I get hungry, you know, also during the day. When I get hungry, it's time to eat, and it's a big deal. On top of that, now, in my mind, this food is worthless. Because there's no Del Taco sauce. Now, I'm a little bit more mature these days, so at the same time, I'm telling myself, this is immature. This is not how you should be acting. I'm honestly saying this to myself. I'm very surprised that I'm worked up so much about this. I'm thinking all this. At the same time, I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, I'm upset. Forget it. Let's just throw it in the trash. I didn't say any of this, okay? I'm thinking this. And I'm like, okay, deal with it. Eat the food. There'll be another day. We'll get it again another day, you know. We don't have these back home. And I can't believe you're acting like this. You need to just stop it. It's not nobody's fault, whatever. Anyways, I couldn't believe. First of all, I wanted this Del Taco sauce really bad. And I've been waiting a year to get to it because the desire I had for this was extreme. And when I didn't get it, the effect it had on me was extreme. Okay, so today, if you want to turn to the Word of God, we're going to be reading chapter 42 of Psalms. We've been going through the whole book of Psalms in Union City. From chapter 1, we're already on, we're at probably like 44 now, but I wanted to do 42 again today. This is all about thirsting for the Word of God. Now I just described to you how much I desired sauce that comes in a little packet like this, and how much effect it had on me. And we're called to thirst for the Word of God. And I'm going to ask you, do you ever desire the Word of God that extreme that I just explained to you? Do you ever get upset? I mean, a little bit worked up because you didn't get to read the Word of God or get to meet with His people or attend church and worship with Him corporately? You ever get that worked up because your desire was so great, like my desire for the Del Taco that I had, that sauce? I don't know. I'm not sure if we ever got to that extreme. But the image, and I have up here a deer, this is actually describing, if you look, do your studies, it's representing a female deer panting out of breath, out of, you know, liquids, four streams of water, thirsting really bad. And that intense desire is what the psalmist here is describing that he has for the Word. Okay? Have for God. And before I read it, just to give you a little bit of a heads up, what he's describing here also is not necessarily an individual experience. When I read this verse through childhood, even up to when I studied this, for some reason, I always, when I, you know, thirst for the Word of God, I'm always put in my mind that it's me at my dinner table or in the morning reading the Word of God in some kind of individual atmosphere. And that's not at all really what he's describing here, the psalmist, and we'll get to that. He's describing a public experience with God's people and leading it. So just a little heads up on that. We'll dive into that a little bit more. But don't think of this as per se, which a lot of us like to do and I like to do, is grab the Word of God and get in my little study zone and kind of isolate myself. We're talking about desiring, thirsting for the Word of God and thirsting for God's people and experiencing His Word and worshiping God with His people as a community thing. Because we weren't designed to be little individual robots, being like, I got it all figured out by myself, and we were designed to work together with all our gifts and build ourselves up together. So I'm going to have a prayer, and then I'm going to read out the ESV. Just that's what I study out of. I'm going to read the whole chapter out of the ESV, and then we'll go ahead and break it down. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're here together to thirst for Your Word, to build each other up with Your Word, to exhort each other with Your Word, maybe even reprimand each other with Your Word today. But to do this for Your glory, to build each other up. Lord, we want to learn how to desire this. If we don't have this desire, we can learn how to desire and want Your kingdom really bad in our lives. We can learn this, and You'll teach us this if we let You. Sometimes when we don't like certain foods, we teach ourselves how to eat it, and then we're surprised how we even desire certain types of food after we give it a chance. And that's to mature, we are to, in Your Word, it says that blessed are those who thirst and hunger for Your Word. So let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. Let's listen to Him, and as He brings to our mind Your Word and the changes and things we need to make, that You'll bless that. Amen. Okay. To the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is Your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are You cast down, O my soul? And why are You in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation. And my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember You from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of Your waterfalls, as Your breakers and Your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. You'll notice in the Psalms that a lot of times the psalmist will ask, why is this happening to me? But then in the same part of the psalm, he gives his answer to himself, or knows the answer. It's like he knows what needs to happen. Today, we are called to thirst for God. Today, in His Word, we're called to hope in God. And the third slide that I'll have today is, today we're going to recognize that there will be better days. Whether we live them here, or we live them in eternity, there are better days and will be better days. We're promised better days. But there's also not so good days either. We need to recognize that. How do we respond in the days that aren't what we consider, you know, awesome, the hard days? We call them the hard times, trials. So that's how we're going to break it down today. Again, I have the slide up there. I don't need to read it again, per se. When he's describing this deer pants for the water, this is the best, they say, description that he could have come up with, like what he would have seen in nature, is to see. I don't know if you ever hunted deer before. Maybe that's, we shouldn't talk about that per se, but you know, some of us hunt, especially in Pennsylvania. I don't really hunt so much because I don't have time, but every time, you know, deer season starts, you hear the guns go off. But when you hunt, sometimes you chase the deer or track it. Sometimes you're at a spot and you see the deer come down and get to the water and try to pant, or they are panting, but trying to lick the water up. This would be a great, one of the best examples in God's creation that would describe an intense desire. And you know, the thirst, it's an intense desire. And if you want to say, I want to thirst for the Word of God, you're going to say, I want to have an intense desire for God. And in this case, I believe it's David, an intense desire to worship God, but to lead His throng. He's talking about leading. I want to lead the throng again. That's a community experience. He has an intense desire to praise God and worship God with His people. That kind of can be a new idea in our minds. It's easier for me. I've went to college enough to get a thrill when you grab maybe a book on a subject that you just really, I'm itching to dig in deep into this, you know, type of matter, whatever it is, and you go off into your study or whatever, and you just start, that's interesting, you know, but this is talking about leading God's people, being with His people, worshiping God with His people, and thirsting for that. And when not getting it, it affecting you, and it is affecting Him. It's affecting Him. The deeps are coming over me. The waters are breaking over me. The sorrow. It's sorrow. I'm sorrowful, and it keeps happening. And your waters keep hitting me. And I keep these trials. And when will I ever get to worship with my people again? And with your people. A strong desire. It's consuming. Boy, I tell you what, it was consuming me, man. Don't talk this last. Why can't you just get my dough? It was consuming my thoughts. And this is thirsting will consume. He says, my tears are my food, meaning like you don't have time to eat. He's dwelling upon the trials that are happening him, and where's God? And I need you. And it's consuming him. And God wants us to be consumed with His Word, consumed with the desire to know more about Him, to be more like Him, to be quenched by Him. We want to be quenched by Him. And you know, God desires that. God loves it. It pleases Him when He sees your heart saying, I want to be quenched by You. And He, okay, and here you go. I'm going to quench you. I'm going to give you My truth. I'm going to give you the endurance you need. I'm going to give you the peace and the strength you need during this hard time. You're not feeling good. You're not having a good time in the world standards. I understand that. I'm not going to take you out of that time, but I'm going to quench you and give you what you need to get through that time. And He's pleased to do that, and He wants us to desire that. What does it mean to thirst? Psalm 119, 19 through 20. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not Your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for Your rules at all times. My children aren't consumed with the rules I have for them. They don't like the rules that we set in the house sometimes. One of them is the Nintendo Switch. You know, I get up at 7 o'clock every morning just because I'm trained to do that. My kids do too. Now they do because they want to play the Nintendo and I'm the one that lets them play it in the morning. So they get up and they... But then there's a rule. Certain time, off. Right? Abby, he's looking at me. Yep. And I'm pretty much sure there are days where I see some tears. Oh, I didn't get to play enough. You know, and they're not consumed. They're not consumed. They don't love that. Oh, thank You for shutting that off. It's so great, you know. When they get older, they will like. I guarantee you'll like that. You'll be excited that happened because then you're gonna be struggling with your own kids that way, and you're gonna be thankful that there's that's a tool I can use, and they'll like and they'll realize why that was. Just like we realize. The more we dig into God's Word and we're consumed by it, that we see the benefits and we see the beauty it does in our lives and how we become closer to God and it builds our faith. Awesome. But this psalmist says he wants to be consumed. He's consumed with he's longing for God's rule in his life at all times. That's an intense desire. I'm not there all the time, and most of the time I might not be there. I wish I was. It's hard because our thoughts have so much more involved with everything that we can get nowadays that it takes so much away from our desire to consume God's Word. And that's why God sometimes allows those trials to take those things out of our lives and focus on Him. It says, those who thirst will be filled. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And that's what I was saying. God wants us to thirst, and then He enjoys this so much. Satisfying His people. I can't help but think of the Israelites when they were so hungry and God's like, watch what I'm going to do here. And He sends the quail or He sends the manna, something awesome like that. And He sees the reaction. Wow, picking up this manna from the ground. Nobody's ever done that. And they grumbled after a while, but at first they were satisfied. And look at when I part the water, I'm going to satisfy your longing to be saved from the Egyptians. You know, and He loves, you know, just to see the expression on their face, and He loves that. Blessed are those who thirst for God; they will be satisfied. Not maybe, maybe you'll be satisfied. Give it a shot. Give it maybe 10 times, and then you'll be satisfied. And maybe the third time's a charm. You will be satisfied. You're in pain, maybe. Confused. Thirst for God; you will be satisfied. You will find peace. You will find endurance. And God enjoys that. That's why blessed are those who seek God. Second part that I want to go through the text here is David's saying, what do I do? And then he says, hope in God. Hope in God. Okay? It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. So he knows where his salvation is going to come from. And he knows who his salvation is. And he recognizes, my God. My God. Like, that's my Lord. Some of the things he goes through in this chapter, he talks about remembering the different places God was with the people on the mount, the different mountains he mentions, the different experiences here. So what I'm seeing about this hope is that he's going to hope in God. I have this three ways to hope in God from what I see here in this scripture, and that is remembering his promises or remembering what he's done in our lives. Remembering his promises is a big thing for us. We're hoping in a lot of promises right now. My salvation, my God, trust. So trust is a way we hope. We hope in God because we trust. We can trust in him. We hope in what he gives us and will help us. We trust that. So one way to hope is to trust. And then what he's doing right now. One way to hope in God is to wait on the Lord. There are so many verses in the Bible that say, wait on the Lord. What does that mean? Wait on the Lord. Exactly what I just said. Wait for Him. You know, some people will say, God always answers prayer. It's either going to be a yes or be a no. But sometimes it's just a wait. I can't help but think of Joseph. God, can you? Is there any way maybe you could get me out of being a slave or being put in prison? Sure. Next day he was out of jail, right? No. He stayed in jail for a long time. Joseph even interpreted dreams, and the guys that he helped out, remember me when you go to Pharaoh, and okay, sure. Nope, they didn't remember him. Still in jail. And then one day, he becomes the second greatest man on the earth. Second to Pharaoh. I'd consider that probably a better turn up in events, so I'd say maybe that's an answer to God's prayer in a way. But did that happen overnight? No. He had to wait on the Lord. God had things in motion, His perfect plan. So part of our hoping is to wait on the Lord also. Psalm 135 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His Word I hope. I just read recently, I can't tell you where I read it, I don't remember now. Basically the author was encouraging us, what we don't do well these days is to be able to wait. We're so impatient. We go to God and we say, gimme, 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 understand this, please consider this, please consider this, this is going on. Okay, let's have it. Instead of not saying anything to God and just waiting. Okay, I'm coming. I'm gonna come into prayer with. This is also called meditation, I think, a little bit. You can meditate. I'm gonna read the Word of God. So I read the Word. That's reading the Word. Now I'm gonna meditate. Okay, I read the Word of God. What's this mean? And I meditate. I'm waiting. We don't listen to God enough. We don't quiet, be still my soul. And part of hoping is to wait. Promises. God promises spiritual welfare. God promises, I'm gonna tell you something right now. You turn your heart to God, you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You repent of your sins and you hope in God, and guess what? You will prosper. But don't take that the wrong way. That doesn't mean you're going to drive out with a Corvette tomorrow or whatever car you like these days. Doesn't mean you're going to get the best job in the world. Because, see, we cheapen the Word of God. We like try to define it in our own terms. Like, prosper means material. It just means it has to be, it means I'm going to have that relationship I want. That guy or boy, you know, boy or girl, whatever, that I was thinking about, God's going to, I'm going to prosper. That's going to have that relationship. Or this family that we're creating, I'm going to have this. And we cheapen it. Instead, we don't go to the original meaning, which is, what's God worried about? What's the most important thing? What's more expensive than gold in Him? It's our eternal spiritual welfare. And that's what He's talking about. You will prosper. Your spiritual welfare, what's the most important thing you have, the most valuable thing, your relationship with God, that will prosper, period. If you hope in God and thirst in His Word. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And He's talking about our spiritual welfare. And yes, He does, in His grace, give us material things. And some people He really blesses material. Solomon asked for the right thing, and Solomon got more than that. He even got material. And God does that. And that's a great thing. Sometimes He takes it all away. And that's a great thing for that person. But God's Word right here says, I have plans for you. Not evil plans, but good plans for your future. It will happen, and it will happen spiritually, period. No doubt. And God's Word says that He wants us to abound in hope. So what that means is God wants us to hope. God desires for us to be hoping in Him a lot, very strongly, abound. He wants us to get carried away with hoping in Him. That is a healthy relationship with God, is to hope in Him in all ways. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. One thing that God wants us to desire and hope in is for His return. We are to hope in that and desire that. To abound in that, to hope for His return. And that's healthy. It's healthy to say, oh God, when are You coming? I desire it. I want You to come back. And that's healthy. God loves that. He wants us to be ready. But he wants us to hope and trust in His control and His sovereignty. The last thing I want to look at is the psalmist clearly here is struggling a little bit. He's talking about better days and hoping for better days, but he's not in the better days right now. He's in the harder times in his life at this moment. And one way that he describes this in this chapter is he says day is the better days, and in night is the hard times. That's the way he uses the analogy. It says, by day the Lord commands His steadfast love. In the good times, the love of God, I see it, and it's great, and it's this abundance of it, right? And then it says, and at night His song is with me. In the hard times, He is still there also. And His Word is with me. And His truth is with me. And it's like He's proclaiming this. A prayer to my God. A prayer to the God of my life. It's like He's proclaiming that this is truth. This is what I believe. I'm saying this to You, Lord, my God. I understand this. And He's trusting in that. I want to talk about another two brothers in the Lord, Paul and Silas. Acts 16:25. Paul and Silas are in jail. Have you ever been in jail? Or just grounded or something? Right. So they're in jail. They're not put in jail because of some kind of real evil thing they did. They put in jail because they're proclaiming the Word of God. So what would you do if you were put in jail? Just think about that a little bit. What would you do if you were put in jail? But these guys, it's still midnight. It's midnight now, which I think I'd try to be sleeping if I could in jail. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. That's a great time, right? Hey, it's midnight. Let's start praising God and singing hymns in the jail. That's great. I don't think so. I don't think many of us would do that. But they do. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And this is what I find real interesting about this verse, the next part. And unlike some of us in the shower, right? It says, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were singing, and the prisoners were listening to them. That right there is the greatest witness we can have in our nighttime. In your nighttime, in your hard time, what'd you do? You turned to the Lord, and what? Your neighbor was listening to you. Your neighbor saw you. Your children saw you. Your boss saw you. Your friends heard you and understood you. Noticed. Hey, Paul and Silas, we're listening to you. Thanks for singing. No, I don't think that happened. Because we don't necessarily get told, but they do. They see you. Oh God, please help me to go into this big ministry. I need a big ministry so I can make a big effect on people. No, what I need you to do is just do the basic thing I told you in my word, that is, turn to me and thirst for me in your hard time in life, which you're going to have, like next week, and turn to me, and you're going to do more in that moment by turning to me than you'll ever do in this huge ministry that you may have down the road. Because they're going to see you, and you're never going to know that they're actually going to turn to me later on, but that's not your problem. Your problem is to turn to me, and that's going to be glory to you. So we're talking about better days, but I tell you, some of the most powerful moments are not going to be in your better days. They're going to be in your night times. How are you going to respond? I guess that's the question. How do you respond in the night times? You respond like this psalmist is, thirst for God and His people. Thirst for worshiping it. Draw upon the strength of your brothers and sisters in one spirit as you turn to God. You may need prayer from your brothers and sisters. You may need encouragement. You may be a little bit prideful and pompous, and you need to be brought down low by your brothers and sisters. Whoever it is, you need them, because God created you as a body to turn to Him as the head. He is the source of our strength and our salvation. And that is all encompassed in the spirit of even our brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit. We're all one in that fact. So God is my strength in the good and the hard times. Isaiah 12:2 states this, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. He is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. Do you ever think about, He is my strength and my song? What is your song? You ever think about that? What is your song? He is my strength and my song. You know, you sing stuff with your lips, but I think I like to look at this that my life is singing a song. Or you could say my life is telling a story. or my life is a book to someone else, however you want to put it. And when you see the verses, sing it, sing a new song. You know, I never really thought about this, but we should be singing a lot of new songs. Every experience that we have with God that teaches us something is a new song. I'm going to sing a new song. Let's see, the Israelites sang a new song. Their new song at the time was, I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider fell into the sea. They saw him destroyed, and they were saved from the greatest army on the earth. They had nothing. They had no swords and stuff, and the greatest army on the earth gone. And that was their new song. God saved us. That was their new song. We have new songs. We don't sing them though. A lot of times we hide them, or we just don't recognize them, so we don't talk about them, or maybe we're just not comfortable, or maybe it's insignificant. So there's a lot of new songs that we have passed up because they're just insignificant. Nobody wants to hear about how, you know, I had a bellyache for half a day and God healed me from that. And we don't talk about it, but these new songs we should talk about. We should be real about them. The future is molded in His purpose. When we're talking about better days and hoping in Him, we need to recognize that our future is molded into His purpose and into His great plan that He has figured out already, and it is going to happen. Nothing will thwart it. Nothing. And we are molded into that, and our life is a part of that somehow. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good for those who are thirsting and waiting on Him and listening and then acting and being a part of that plan. There's a plan out there and you're a piece of it. Somehow God knows it all and has figured it all out. We have choice and we get to make our choices, but He's God and knows them all. But we make those choices and we fit and we work and it all works together, and He's not surprised. And nothing changes, you know, and it all works together. We hope in that, have confidence in that. That hard time we go through, when we know that getting through this, all is working toward that perfect plan, and that gives us hope and peace, knowing that it's not out of control. God's in control. He will help me get through it, but He's got it under control. It's going to work out. He said so. And I'm going to hope in that. That's a promise that He's given us. A prayer to my God and to my life is to state with Him that, Lord, You are my strength. You are my salvation. You're rock solid. You have a great purpose. It's unfolding. And my life plays a part in that. And even though it's out of control or dark in this moment, I will trust in You, and it's working toward Your great purpose.